So today's lesson is about grace, and it's something that I love to talk about. It's one of my favorite subjects. And when I began to grasp the entire scope of what grace is, it was epiphany, it was an enlightenment, it was a relief. And so I'd like to share a little bit of that with you today. I had a wonderful teacher when I was in classes before I started ministerial school and then in ministerial school who basically received the entire lesson about grace all at once as an illumination from the activity of God, the Holy Spirit. And it is one of the most powerful classes, one of the most powerful ideas that I ever encountered. And part of the prayer that she taught us was, Spirit, heal what needs to be healed, reveal what needs to be revealed. And I know that if you take on that prayer, just those two sentences, hang on, because you are going to be healed and things will be revealed to you. And it can be a life-transforming experience. Because we've been taught in the Western world, in Christianity in particular, we've been taught that grace from God, the grace of Jesus Christ, all of that is something that perhaps has to be deserved by us. I don't know how we got to that idea that we have to deserve grace. We first have to embrace the idea that we're one with Spirit. That's a beginning point. We first have to begin with the idea that we teach as one of our foundations in unity is that there's one presence and one power, and that power and presence lives in us as the Christ consciousness. And the Christ is something that is beyond the historical man, Jesus Christ. The Christ consciousness is the spark of divinity that is part of our creation. It's what we came here to be. It's what we came here to express. So we have to embrace that first. And then we begin to discover that grace is a gift from God that transcends our human thoughts, actions, etc. You see, we've kind of taken on a little bit of that idea of karma. And without going into a whole comparative religions lecture this morning, which I'm not going to do, we can look at Hinduism and Buddhism and look at the different types and teachings of karma in those beliefs, which would have us getting an equal return for every thought or action that we had, good or bad. Well, that can make you a little nervous. I mean, for every bad thought you've had, would you want that coming back to bite you? A lot of times it does, because that then goes into the third principle that we teach in unity, which is the thoughts that you hold, the way you believe, is the way you experience the world, is the way you have your life experience. If you believe that people are inherently pretty shady and that you got to look for the good in them, what you're going to experience in your world is a lot of shady people. If you believe that people are inherently good, then it's easier to see that goodness in them, to affirm it, to reflect it. And so karma, in the Eastern sense, would have us, and I'm oversimplifying this, please understand that, would have us believe that we're going to come back over and over and over again till we get it right. And that may be true. I don't have any problem talking about reincarnation. That's something for another discussion. But what I know right now is that when Jesus Christ came and taught, his main teaching was to the Jewish people who had lived under a certain codified set of laws that came all the way back from Moses. and it had been expanded upon throughout the centuries so that there were laws to live by. You did this, you did this, you did this. And Jesus came to say, yeah, those laws are okay, but there's something greater than the law. It's not like you follow all these laws and then you're in God's favor and it's all good. He came to say, yeah, the laws are good, but I've come to fulfill something greater than the law. I've come to show you that you have a personal connection to the Father, to Spirit. And I'm going to show you how it looks. I'm going to show you your potential. I'm going to show you what you were born to be. And so the other night, I watched most of a movie that came out a few years ago called Mary Magdalene. It's not a bad movie. It actually is really pretty good. And I like to watch movies about the experience of Jesus the man on the earth, because I like to see where my inherent beliefs, my intuition, my still small voice in me, how it compares to what I see depicted on the screen or read in books or what's presented by other denominations, just to kind of keep my belief system fluid and to keep it rooted in, and those two can coexist. To know, yes, this is true for me. Oh, I see what you're talking about. I think about it a little differently, but we're saying the same thing. So I watched this movie about Mary Magdalene, and Jesus was played by, surprisingly, Joaquin Phoenix. You don't think of Joaquin Phoenix being a Jesus character, but he did a pretty good job. So, and Mary was so devoted to the message that he was bringing. She saw his struggle. She believed his words that he was going to be leaving his followers. She believed his words when he said, I haven't come here to bring a revolt against Roman rule. I've come here to bring a revolution in the way people think about themselves. So when the rest of the disciples, especially Judas, were so disappointed that Jesus didn't come in with a flaming sword to wipe out the corruption in the temple, he did a little bit of that, but to defeat the Roman occupation. Mary saw that there was something greater, that the revolution had to do with carrying on those teachings so that people would know who they truly were, so that people would be lifted up no matter what their station in life was, no matter what they, how they had lived in the past, no matter what their physical condition was, they were a divine child. She believed that, and if we are to believe the many legends about the Magdalene, she went on to be a great teacher and to inspire people. So that was one depiction, and it was really interesting to look at that and say, yeah, I believe it could have been that way. Or maybe not, maybe they took a little artistic license. But the thing that's good for us is we get to think for ourselves about what that journey was about. And that Jesus was saying, look, you can make your sacrifice at the temple, but it's more important that you believe who you are in the kingdom of God right now, right here. And so he brought the idea of grace being greater than the law, grace being greater than karma. And here's the thing, my friends, we do not have to deserve it. That's the whole point. It's a gift. It is that which blesses us in our darkest moments. It's that which says, it doesn't matter who you've been or what you've done, you have a fresh start today, and you'll have a fresh start tomorrow. You'll have a fresh start tonight if you have a bad day. That is the blessing. That is the revolution. It's still the revolution. So we don't get to get ourselves stuck in thinking, oh, I'm not worthy. Please stop doing that. That's an old puritanical thing. I remember one of the most traumatic things that happened to me in high school was in one of my literature courses when I had to read Jonathan Edwards' Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and it had human beings being like little spiders being dangled over the fire. That far away from the fires of hell and the brimstone of eternity. Oh, good Lord. That was scary. And I thought, phew, glad we're not like that anymore, except we are kind of. We are kind of. Would it be okay with you to give up the idea of hell? Would it be okay with you to know that you are in the grace of God, the blessing of God, the acceptance of God? Would it be okay with you to live the rest of your life exactly like that? Wow. And you see, the thing that we have to do is accept it. That's our job. Our job is to say, yes, I'll take that gift. Yes. Let me try walking through my life knowing that grace is present with me, knowing that blessings and illuminations and things that accelerate and enhance my growth as a human being, having this experience, as a spiritual being that's here for a unique purpose to bless the world, show me what that looks like. And so the old idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, look how often that penetrates every single facet of our society. It does. Our job is to have the discernment to let consequences take place the way they're going to take place for ourselves and others, but to also know that we are living in that grace all the time. It's not like, oh, I had a bad day, I guess I didn't have any grace. Look for the grace in your bad day. It may not reveal itself to you tomorrow. Remember, you're going to pray that. Reveal that which needs to be revealed. When you have one of those hard experiences in life, one of those difficult experiences in life, it's up to you to say, I will accept my grace in this. Reveal to me where it is. Reveal to me what is mine to know. Heal that which needs to be healed in this. Show me. And that is an act of faith. That is an act of trust. That is an act of acceptance. That is an act of living. What we teach is that we're going to retrain our thoughts to know that God is everywhere present, just as Kit prayed in the gathering prayer. There is nothing that is not God. And it is our human condition to categorize things and judge things and say, well, that's of God, but that right there is not. This person is divine, but woo, not this one. We do that. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. It's easy to pray for your brother. Pray for your enemies, which enemies would be them, as opposed to us. Let's pray for them, all of them, no matter what. And that's hard sometimes, That is hard. When we see evil in the world, that is, and evil is the things the humans do that are destructive, that are hateful, that are unexplainable. And yet, if there is not grace in everything, then we're lost. Now, I am not talking about an opiate for the masses. I'm not talking about sugarcoating things. When New Thought was first coming around, and even in the last 30, 40 years, people have been la-di-da, everything's fine, cancel, it's all good. It is. But we were denying the reality of a situation. We have to see that which we're going to shift our beliefs about. If you see something in there, out there in the world, and you go, "Ooh, that makes me so mad," don't try to say, "Oh, but cancel, I'm not really mad." Go ahead and say, "Yeah, this makes me angry. And now, how shall I transmute that anger into something productive? How can I shift that around where I can pray for that? I can pray in that. I can lend a hand here." Friends, this is revolutionary. I keep coming back to that. This is revolutionary. This is not spirituality for sissies. This is boot camp spirituality. And even saying that, I will say that if you've ever gone through a tough regimen of a physical workout, if you've ever run a marathon, not me, won't ever, thank you very much. But if you've ever done that thing where you've gone beyond your own expectations, where you've surprised yourself, then you have the ability to do that with your thoughts and with your actions. You have the ability to do that with your prayer. And so what it allows us to do, my friends, is to look at our previous religious conditioning, or our lack of religious conditioning, or to look at other denominations and faiths that are not what we teach, and to begin to reframe it and reframe it and reframe it. If you've ever gone to a wedding or a funeral or a memorial service for somebody in a church that's different than a New Thought church, and you hear, let's say, the opportunity to get saved during that funeral, I invite you just to sit there and let it wash over you and through you, and to find the commonality in the language. You see, we think, "Oh, no, I can't go to church with so-and-so. Makes my skin crawl." Go ahead, let your skin crawl and move through it. Because deep down, don't you think those with a different language and a different theology are all wanting everyone to know the goodness of God? Underneath it all, isn't that what it is? If somebody asks you if you've been saved by Jesus, say yes. Say yes, you have. Do not get into a theological argument unless they're inviting you to do that. Just say, "Well, I don't believe that way." How helpful is that? Maybe true, but it's not helpful. It's not kind. It just causes a rift. Are you saved by Jesus? Yes, I am saved from knowing that I am not limited by this human experience, from knowing my divinity, because Jesus showed us how that looks. So yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved from my old stinking thoughts. I'm saved from believing that my entire past defines who I am today. Yeah, I'm saved. I am saved. So if we're going to let go of the idea of hell, we're going to let go of the idea of hell for everybody. 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 All those people who do bad things. It's not our business what happens to them. We pray because that's who we are. We bless because that's what we do. We affirm the truth because that's who we are. I had a couple of other good I was saved by Jesus. Here's another one I heard a lot when I was growing up. And they've even written songs about it, about being washed in the blood. So now that I've been in New Thought for 34 years, washed in the blood is not a phrase that I resonate with. I'm guessing if you're listening to this broadcast, you don't resonate with it either. But here's the thing. You know, I have to stop here and just give you a little parenthetical story. I was reading a thing the other day about what people that are not Americans find peculiar about Americans. It was a long list, but one of the things is that they said that when Americans say, okay, here's the thing, they're like, just say the thing. Why do you have to announce that you're going to say a thing and then say the thing? And then I caught myself three times already, I've said in this talk, here's the thing. Which I guess is my signal to say, you better be listening. I guess I could just say, listen to this. But here's the thing. I talked about this on Palm Sunday. We talked about it at Easter. When Jesus went into Jerusalem, he knew that he was in trouble when he got there. He knew that walking in, that would probably be his last journey. He knew he'd probably get killed, and he was. And if we're to believe the stories, then after his death, there was something about his essence that reappeared that let people know that death was not the end of life. Life with the capital L. L. Death is not the end of life. So did his blood that he shed dying, did it change my life? Yeah, did. Because I know that life is eternal. Listen, there was a whole group of people in the early church called Gnostics. And if you just boil down what their primary belief was, is that to them, it wasn't important whether or not this physical man, this historical man existed. It was his essence and his teachings and that mystical presence that made all the difference. They were considered heretics. But I would say there's a lot of Gnosticism in what we teach in New Thought. It doesn't matter what you believe about that historical man. What matters is where you look at those teachings, whether he actually said those words or not. He said, God loves you. You are one with that loving presence. You're going to be covered up with blessing. You're going to be covered up with love. It's going to shower down on you. Are you willing to receive it? And that's the question he asked over and over again to people who questioned him. Do you want it? What are you willing to do to have it? In other words, are you willing to give up all your stinking thinking to have something new and fresh and eternal? That's grace, my friends. That's grace. So if you get to a point where you're saying, ooh, I did this thing, that is going to come back, you may have some natural consequences to what you did, but you are not trapped by that. Because grace also allows you to go to wherever you've made a mistake, and with the presence of God, the words of God, the clear intention of God, to go into that place where you've made a mistake and go, wow, I made a mistake, and I apologize. I messed up. Let me fix it. Can you forgive me those things that I've held against you? That's grace. And grace is knowing it whether they say yes or no. The act of asking is the graceful thing. The act of knowing that it's all washed away anyway. My goodness, if you've ever loved someone so totally that you can overlook, that you can forgive, that you can adjust yourself to things that they might have done, aren't you loving them anyway? Aren't you loving them anyway? That's the way we're loved. Except beyond filters and conditions and memories. We are loved totally. Are you accepting it? Break down your hard, broken heart. Let it in. Look beyond your sadness, your unworthiness. Let it in. That's what grace is. Is it too good to be true? No. It's that good. Take it in. See, if we were in another church, I would say, who's willing to accept all that goodness? I'd ask you to walk down here to the front of the steps and put hands on you and say, yes, here's your grace. Here's your grace. Here's your grace. It's all done. It's all forgiven already. It's not even a thing, beloved. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. Wouldn't even have to put water on you. You will never see me bless a newborn baby or a little child and say, this is to wash away your original sin. No, we'll not do that. We're born into grace. We leave this world in grace. We live our lives in between in grace. So as we begin our meditation today, beloved, this is what I'm going to suggest to you. I'm going to suggest, unless you're driving a car or operating heavy machinery, I invite you to just be wherever you are. And I want you to just take on this posture where you bring your shoulders down and back, you open up your chest, open up your arms if you can, because this is both powerful and vulnerable at the same time. That's what our life is about here. Powerful and vulnerable. Those two qualities living paradoxically in us at the same time. And just start breathing. And all you have to do is say, yes. Yes. And you may be saying to yourself, Spirit, God, great everything, I've never done this before and I don't know how. Show me. And you may have been living in a state of grace that you knew, that you have known, that you know today. And yet, are we ever finished receiving? No. So today, even if you fully understand grace, say yes again. Take it in. Allow yourself to be and to know love. Oh, beloved, we are made of the stuff of stars. We are so many of those essential, basic elements of the periodic table. No matter what else is out there in the universe, here we are, treasured, cherished, loved creations. Brought together by another paradox, a holy and scientific miracle. That's how we were created. The Creator cannot do anything except love its creations. If you are visual in your orientation, I want you to just leave the planet for a moment. Hover out there in space for a little bit and look back at the beautiful place we live. Tell yourself, yes, I am a creature of grace. And as such, I bless this planet with grace. May we treasure it and heal it. May we do our part for all living things. If you're not a visual learner, just put your hands together. Feel your own flesh. Treasure these hands, the representation of your physical being here on the planet, blessed by grace, doing the work of grace, touching others with grace. And beloved, if there's any part of you that is saying, oh, who am I to bestow blessing upon another? You're a child of God. That's who you are. You are the living expression of Spirit. That is absolutely your right. And it is also your right to receive. And as you're watching this today, I'm opening my eyes to you. Open your eyes if you wish. And let us share our knowing that we are one. We are one. We can remind each other of our holiness. It's kind of our job. We can remind each other that in the midst of our grief, our anger, our sorrow, our tired moments, grace is visited upon us. That indefinable, indescribable blessing of God. That gift that transcends everything. Today, let your hands be your graceful things. Do no harm, only bless. And if you're feeling tired or weary, just take those hands and bring your energy into this ball. Remember who you are. Take that lighted ball and put it in you. The secret is it's already there, all the time. What can we do except say thank you? Thank you, God, for grace. Thank you, God, for my life. Thank you, God, for the lives of those that I love. Thank you for the lives of those I don't. For surely, grace takes care of it all. And so with that great expression of gratitude through you, as you, we say, and so it is, forever and ever, so it is. Amen.